The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
We're back in our series on We Wrestle Not. So I've got a little bit of a different video for us today. So let's pray first and then we'll go. Father, thanks for today. Thank you for your grace, your mercy. God, I pray that you will give us strength this week as we face our giants. You'll open up our hearts, God, to hear what you have to say today. Thanks, Father. Amen. All right, so I figured the title for today is Facing the Giants, and who better to feature than Andre the Giant?
Look, are you just fiddling around with me or what?
I just want you to feel you're doing well. I hate for people to die on the hands. You're quick.
A good thing, too.
Were you wearing a mask? Were you burned by acid or something like that?
Oh, no, it's just they're terribly comfortable. I think everyone will be wearing them in the future.
I just figured, well, you give me so much trouble.
Look at the size of their heads together.
Why is that, do you think?
Well, I haven't fought just one person for so long. Been specializing in groups, battling gangs for local charities, that kind of thing.
Why should that make such a difference?
When, you see, you use different moves when you're fighting. Half a dozen people. Then we only have to be one. About one.
Let me give you some stats about Andre the Giant. 7'4". He's your basic large human. 525 pounds. All right. 24-inch neck. Yeah, exactly. 71-inch chest. His biceps are 21 inches. That's nuts. His thighs, 36 inches. His thighs are as big around as some of your waists. Here's a picture of him holding a can. That's a regular 12-ounce beer can. When we talk this morning about giants, this is who I want you to reference. We're going to talk about giants in our lives. That's the reference right there. Big 12 sandwich-eating huge human. Got your Bible, turn to Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. "Let's go at once to take the land," he said. "We can certainly conquer it." But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. "We can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are." So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes there. All the people we saw are descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. Okay, you with me? Caleb said, "Let's go. God's given us the land. Let's go." And the other one said, "No, not so fast, Sparky. There's big people there. There's Andre the Giant living there." Let's be honest. We've all had grasshopper moments. We've all had moments where The job felt too big. The diagnosis felt too serious. The calling was too heavy. The opposition felt too strong. And if we're not careful, we start talking like the spies. We look like grasshoppers. You ever felt that in your life? You look at something and you say, I'm just a grasshopper here. I got nothing to offer. I can't do this. Here's the truth, though. They weren't defeated by giants. They were defeated by their own perspective. Okay, just let that marinate for a minute. The giants never defeated them. They lost before they even started because they had the wrong perspective. So as we talk about things today, I'm going to talk about this assignment they had. I want you to put this in terms of your life because you, if you're not doing it now, you will face a grasshopper moment. We're talking about wrestling with God's calling. We're talking about wrestling with the things that God's called us to do, with trying to live this Christian life. And if we have the wrong mindset from the beginning, we're just like grasshoppers. First thing they needed to know is their assignment was from God. It wasn't from themselves. It's not like Moses woke up one morning and said, you know what? Let's go check out Canaan for fun. Let's just go down there and see what happens. Numbers 13:2. God is speaking. He says, send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I am giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes. Notice here, what did God say? Go explore the land that I have given them. God gave them the land. And all they worried about were giants. The mission wasn't about their ability. It was about God's promise. And in your life, the things that you're faced with, they're not about your ability. It's about what God has promised to you. Somewhere between the promise and the produce, when they read it, they said, yeah, grapes so big we had to carry them on a stick and the land flowing with milk and honey. So somewhere between the promise and the produce, they forgot who sent them to scout out the land. If God gives the assignment, he also supplies the strength. What is God calling you to do right now? It could be to fix a relationship. Could be to move forward in more Bible study, more prayer time. Could be to sharpen your discipleship. Could be to lead a ministry of some sort. I don't know what God has for you. That's between you and God. But if all you worry about is your strength, you've already lost. If God's called you to do something, he's going to give you the strength. That's the way he works. You don't have to be big enough. You just have to be obedient enough. God's not worried about how strong you are. He knows how strong he is. So where is God waiting for you to be obedient enough? Is there a ministry opportunity that's out there for you? Is there a hard conversation you have to have? A step of faith? A leadership role? Understand, whatever God is calling you to, he didn't miscalculate. I love that. We somehow think that God makes mistakes. Well, God, surely you didn't call me. And God says, yes, I did, and don't call me surely. Ba-dum-ba. Okay. God doesn't miscalculate. God knows exactly what. God made the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and he took the seventh day off because he said, you know, I'll just rest for a while. I put together my e-bike this week. It took me like 2.5 hours, and I was exhausted by the time I was done. I took it for one little lap around the park, and I said, yeah, I think I'm done for the day. Then I took a nap. God is so much more powerful than we are. We think that somehow he's made the mistake. But that leads us to this. Grasshopper thinking shrinks God. How big's your God? Some of you got little puny gods. How big's your God? See, when we say, oh, I know God's calling me this, but I don't think he can do it in me, you can hear God. Look at verse 33. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. How do they know that? How do they know that the people there thought they looked like grasshoppers? Did they interview them? Oh, hi, Eyewitness News here. What do you think of me? Do I look like a grasshopper to you?
Yes.
They didn't ask them. They didn't actually interview or ask the giants. They just assumed. Fear. Fear will preach louder. I'm going to try again. Fear will preach lies louder than faith. And if your God shrinks because you're afraid, because you see the giants, that fear will overcome everything in your life. What did these guys see? They saw fortified cities. They saw tall men. They saw obstacles. Caleb saw promise. Caleb said, God's given it to us. Let's roll, baby. Notice this. You got the other guy saying, we were like grasshoppers. Poor me. They did that worm talk, you know. Oh, nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Shut up. Shut up. Oh, they were so big. And yeah, there's big grapes there, but you know, we can get grapes down at Ralph's. We don't have to go to like the land of milk and honey. We don't face giants to get grapes at Walmart. We just have to face all the mean people with carts. This thing is driving me crazy. Okay. They looked at the same land, the same giants, the same report, but they had a different perspective. They saw obstacles and things that scared them, and Caleb saw God's going to move. Where do you want to be today? You want to be one of the wimpy wimpies over here? The Casper Jim Milk Toast 98-pound weaklings? Well, you know, I just don't know if God can do it in me. Or do you want to be like Caleb and say, you know what? I don't care how big those giants are. God gave us that land. That dude is squatting on my house. It's time for us to take it. Here's the problem. When you feel small, you start measuring God by your size. You with me? We've got this defeatist mentality. Well, you know, God's this. Wait a second, though. God isn't measured by your size. God is not made smaller to everybody else just because you don't think he can. He's only made smaller to you. You're the one that has shrunk your life. You're the one that has taken all the things that God has offered you and all the things that God wants to do in you, and you've shrunk them down to fit your size. Meanwhile, God says, no. Let me expand that. Let's go bigger. Let's take the land where the giants live. Quit being a sissy lala. See, you may feel too inexperienced, too unqualified, too old. Do not ever tell me I'm too old. The only thing I'm too old for is breakdancing. Because when I dance, real things break, okay? Don't say you're too young. Well, you know, when I grow up, I'll be able to. No, Sparky. You're never too young to serve God. You're never too young to have great things happen to you by faith. Don't give me that. You're never too broken. Well, Jerry, you don't know where I've been. You don't know the things I've done. You're right, I don't. And you know what else? It doesn't matter. If God's called you, God's going to strengthen you, God's going to give you the tools you need, and God's going to give you victory. You just got to quit shrinking God. I'm too late. God's always on time. 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, that's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecution, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I'm weak, I'm strong. When you get to these places, these giant moments, and you're facing the giants, and you got a choice of what you're going to do, you can stand there and cower in fear or say, okay, God, I am totally outclassed here. I'm totally a grasshopper. But God, you're not. You with me? See, the problem is, it was never about your strength anyway. Trust me, in this whole God calling you and God moving in you, you are the weak link in the chain, not God. But God is there for you. The real giant wasn't in Canaan. It was in their mind. Now look, the giants were real. Let's not pretend they weren't. Can you imagine an army of Andre the Giants coming at you? All of them talking, and it sounds like they got marbles in their mouth, because that's what it sounds like when he talks. He was big and stuff, but he not a great conversationalist. Can you imagine a bunch of 7'4", 525-pound guys just come rolling down the hill toward you? No matter how big the giants they faced were, the biggest giant they faced was inside. No matter how big you think the things in your life are, how big you think the obstacles in your life are, the biggest obstacle you face is right here in your heart, your mind. Look what they said in verse 31. The other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are. There's something really interesting here. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. God never asked him to be stronger. He asked him to trust the one who is. And if you think somehow that God's asking you to be stronger to get things done, he's not. He's asking you to give him reign in your life. Let the one who is strong handle this stuff. I've either blown some of your minds or you're just kind of drifting off into comas. This is where a lot of believers get stuck. We disqualify ourselves before the battle even starts. Wait, you ever feel like a loser? You feel like a grasshopper? How about David? David was too small for Goliath. I don't know if you've read that story or not, but Goliath, another pretty big guy. David ended up killing him with a rock. Moses said he couldn't speak. Maybe Moses sounded like Andre the Giant. Like he had marbles in his mouth or something. Gideon said he was the least person in his family. Peter denied Jesus. And yet through every one of those, we see God moving. God gave David the victory over Goliath. Moses led his country out of captivity. Gideon did incredible things for God. Peter went on to have an incredible ministry after he denied the Lord. Quit giving up before the battle even starts. God specializes in using people who feel like grasshoppers. Because that way, when the victory comes, no one confuses who did it. You think that when David killed Goliath with that rock in the middle of the forehead, Everybody said, ooh, he's a good shot. No. Because before David even went in there, David said, look, I've killed a bear. I've killed other animals that tried to get after my flock, and God's going to give me the same victory over this jerk stick. That's the Jerry Godsey interpretation. And God did. My goal for my life has always been to do something so big that everybody knows it had to be God because I'm not that good. Quit being a grasshopper. Here's the thing. You're only a grasshopper if you forget who your God is. The tragedy of Numbers 13 that we've just read isn't that they saw giants. See, the giants are part of the plan. God said, hey, I've given you the land. Oh, by the way, there's giants there. There's, you know, grapes the size of your head and a land flowing with milk and honey. But, oh, yeah, there's giants there. They're part of the plan. That's fine. Do you think the giants came as a surprise to God? Well, I gave him that land. I didn't know those big guys were there. Of course he knew. But God also knew that he had the strength to defeat them. When God calls you to something, he's going to give you victory. There may be insurmountable odds. God's going to give you victory. Quit wimping out. So the tragedy isn't that they saw the giants. The tragedy is they forgot that the same God who called them to that land is the God who split the Red Sea for them. Imagine that. You're freed from captivity. You're marching away, and now they're all chasing you with chariots, and they got all kinds of stuff chasing you, and you get to the Red Sea, and you think, oh, great. And this is what they said. This is what the Israelites said. Oh, great. God took us out of Egypt, and now we're going to die. I get so tired of whiny babies. Just get tired of them. Just, you know what? Just suck it up, Buttercup. You're going to be fine. They stood at the banks of the Red Sea, and God split the waters. Now, I saw the water split at Universal Studios, but I'm pretty sure that was a joke. Pretty sure that was a trick. They had like pumps and stuff. Can you imagine standing there and watching this huge sea just part, and you get to walk across on dry land? Now, see, this is where my imagination gets crazy. I imagine walking through, and they're like fish against the wall of the water. Like, what are these guys doing? I told you the story about the little boy who's in Sunday school, and his Sunday school teacher, she's not a big believer in miracles, and she says, now, we know that when God split the Red Sea, that there really wasn't very much water in it that time of year. It was really just a puddle, and so they just walked across. Well, first of all, the Bible says none of their feet got wet. There's that. Some little boy in there said, praise God for the miracle. She said, wait a second. I just told you there's no miracle. It was a little tiny puddle. The little boy said, no, there's a miracle there. She said, what is it? He said, God drowned all of Pharaoh's army and all their horses and stuff in a puddle of water. Because that's what happened. They crossed out of the Red Sea. All the guys from Egypt said, well, let's go. And they died in that water. The giants are a fact of life. They're there. But God will split the Red Sea for you to get you out. The Israelites forgot about manna. They forgot about the fire by night. They forgot about the cloud by day. And before you get too bad on them, oh, that's horrible, those stupid Israelites. How could they doubt God? We do the exact same thing. Say amen or ouch. We do the same thing. Well, I know God's called us that, but I just don't know. And we forget. We forget about the prayers he answered, the doors that he opened, the protection he provided, the strength that he's already given us. We always want to think about faith as the idea of, you know, stepping over the edge of this. I'm not getting too close to this because I will fall and I'll hurt the concrete. We think that it's just stepping off the edge. You know, the biblical concept of faith is saying, wait a second, I saw what God did yesterday. I saw what God did the day before. I saw what God did 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I saw what he did in the Bible. The Bible tells me God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When I step out in faith, I'm not just taking a wild leap across the chasm. I'm saying, I've seen everything that God's done before, and he's not going to let me down now. God's not going to leave me stranded. The giants look big when our memory gets small. Chapter 13, verse 30. Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. It wasn't arrogance. It wasn't being braggadocious. That was confidence in God. What land is God trying to get you to take over today? What part of your life is God pushing you, calling you, saying, hey, you need to do this? Are you going to let your fears and all the things that you think, your lack of strength, your lack of knowledge, your lack of blah, 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 you're going to let that get in the way of God's calling? Are you going to miss out on the land that flows with milk and honey and has everything we need, the land that God has given you? Are you going to miss out on that because you're scared? Because you feel like a grasshopper in your own eyes? Come on. Let's go. During the announcements, you know, invite somebody to Easter. I imagine a lot of you had somebody in your mind that said, oh, yeah, I could invite them. And then the doubt started to hit. Yeah, but I can invite them, but then they'll say no and they'll think I'm stupid. Hey, face the giants. Take the land where the giants are. Don't be scared. Don't be a sissy lala. Little boy's in his backyard, and there's this huge rock. He pushes, he strains, he sweats, he cries, and his dad's standing there watching the whole time. He's trying so hard. He hasn't budged that rock an inch. Finally, the boy says, Dad, I've used all my strength. I can't move it. Dad says, no, you haven't used all your strength. Boy says, yes, I have. I pushed and pushed and pushed. I used all my strength. The father said, no, you haven't asked me for help. Little kid's relying on his strength. Meanwhile, his dad's standing there ready to help push the rock. The grasshoppers forgot they had a father. You have a father. You have a God who wants you to do great things. And if you don't believe that, you're already a grasshopper. Stop for a minute, okay? Everybody look up here. Makes me feel pretty, okay? Lord knows something has to. Say it right now out loud. God has something great for me to do. Say it again. God has something great for me to do. And if you don't believe that, if you just said that because you're scared I'll call you out, and I would have. If you just said that everybody else said it, I guess I will. No. Mean it in your heart of hearts. God has something great for me to do. And he does. But you got to quit being a grasshopper. You got to remember, you got a father. And my dad is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. My father is the creator of the universe. My father is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. That's my father. And when he says, God, see, I've got a calling for you, he gives me the strength to do it. Folks, it's time for us to quit resting on our laurels, quit being afraid, and just say, my father is the biggest, baddest dude in this neighborhood, and he's going to do it for me. Maybe you feel too small for your calling, for the responsibility, for the battle, the season you're in. The question isn't, how big are the giants? The question is, how big is your God? How big is your God? I don't serve some little tiny pipsqueak God. My dad is the biggest, baddest, meanest dude in the neighborhood. Mess with him at your peril. You may feel like a grasshopper, but grasshoppers in the hands of a giant God, they take promised land. There's a promised land waiting for you. There's a victory that God wants to give you, a place where God wants you to grow beyond what you thought possible, a place where God's given you something that only you can do, something that needs to be done. The question isn't how big are the giants? The question is, how big is your God? I want to be a grasshopper that takes the promised land. Yeah, the giants are there. God's bigger. My dad is the biggest, the baddest, the meanest guy on the block. And when he says, Jerry, take the land, I'm going to take the land. Are you ready? Are you ready to take new land in your life? Are you ready to face the giants? Quit crying in your tennis shoes? Quit standing there with that worm talk? Shut up. Are you ready to take the promised land? And for every one of you, that promised land is different. I don't care what it is. I just want you to take it. Grasshoppers in the hands of a giant God, they take the promised land. Father, thanks. God, you are so good to us. And you are so much bigger, so much greater than we are, so much greater than we could even possibly imagine. And God, right now, you are calling us to take land. You're calling us to have victory. Thank you, Father. Right now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, what's the land God wants you to take? What's the place in your life where God wants you to do something great? Father, do it for us. Come on, take a moment. Let this stew in your heart. Don't rush through this. We're not going anywhere important. Come on. God, I want to take the promised land. You promised me. You promised me victory. God, I want to take the promised land. I don't want to wimp out. I want to move forward. I want to do something great. God, you're so good to us. Maybe you're watching this or you're here this morning and you're like, okay, Jerry, I want to follow God, but I don't follow him now. Okay, well, we can take care of that now. God, I want to follow you. I want to be a Christian. I want you to work in my life. I accept your forgiveness. I accept you as Lord and Savior. Now, guess what? Now it's time to start taking some land. Time to start growing. I am so excited. So excited about what God's going to do in your lives. Not because you're a grasshopper, but because he's a great God. I can't wait to see what happens in you. Father, bless us now, God. Bless us. Work in us, God. Do something great. Thanks, Father. Thanks. Now just tell him thank you. Come on. God, thank you for the new land. Thank you for victory. Thank you for what you're going to do in my life, God. Thank you. Thanks, Father. Amen. One last thing. Remember the giants? They're still out there. And they're going to try and scare you this week. Here's what I want you to tell them. You see giants in your life this week? You see places where Satan's trying to intimidate you? What do you got to remember? My dad. My dad is the biggest, baddest, meanest dude in this neighborhood. Hey, giants, you ain't nothing. My dad. Love you guys.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com. You built a mighty fortress till